It's not likely, I reckon, that you normally devote a lot of thought to food systems. We are trained for that, for the thoughtless ease of the supermarket. Food comes from a shelf or a freezer, except, of course, that it doesn't. And lockdown might have taught us that. As the silent mystery of food supply has been disrupted, there's been an impact of that pandemic on our food chains, at retail, production. It's undeniable, and we're seeing it as consumers. Suddenly the price of garlic is through the roof. Well, it's winter, and we can't get it anymore from Mexico or China. Suddenly we're being prompted to eat seasonally and maybe to think a little bit more about the systems, the supply chains behind our food. And I wonder whether these new behaviours, these ideas, will they stick? What will they change? Chris Ennis is Director of Business Innovation at Ceres Fair Food. He joins us. Chris, welcome.
Nice to be here.
Let's start with our food systems broadly. From what you've seen, what's been the impact of not so much the pandemic, but the lockdown on our food chains?
Well, it's been sort of perverse. There are areas that have got incredibly busy, like delivery, and then there are, you know, farmers at the same time who are ploughing the greens that they would have been sending to cafes and restaurants into the ground. We're panic buying some things and, you know, other things are going to waste.
Is there any good coming out of that?
There's been this huge rush towards local, you know, short food chains. So locally grown, it's almost a deep gut reaction to seeing shelves empty on the supermarkets to go, I've got to go direct to my farmer, which is fantastic. But farmers can't react in an instant. They can't put on, you know, thousands of chickens or grow garlic in a week. And that was the sort of pressure.
The other side of that is horror stories from the United States, for example, of huge farms around eggs, absence of eggs in supermarkets, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of eggs from growers that were aimed towards a particular sort of production that can't be repurposed towards the supermarket. This sort of rigidity of food chains that takes a certain product to a certain outcome and can't adapt.
Yeah, and it's the same with things that go from one country to another. Say, seafood that needs to be processed, caught in Australia, needs to be processed in Thailand. And if it's sitting on the docks and goes off because it can't get to Thailand, then it's just that simple thing, that simple little transport link that's missing because of COVID, suddenly it all breaks down.
So we've made an incredibly complex web, have we not, in between this resource stuff in the ground that's growing and our tables. The connections have become vastly complex and, as we have seen, easy to disrupt.
Well, it's something as simple as containers. So when COVID first hit in China, container ships backed up along the Yangtze full of, you know, pork and manufactured goods and all sorts of foodstuffs. And those containers were needed in Brazil before, you know, soybeans and other, you know, other products coming out of Brazil. And there was this sort of logjam of containers and shortages of containers around the world. And that was just disrupting everything. So it's as simple as like these metal boxes that aren't in the right place at the right time.
Mm. Tell us about your experience at Ceres and perhaps introduce Ceres for listeners around the country. You're in a northern Melbourne. What do you do there?
Well, we're an environment park and our chief mission is to help people fall in love with the earth again and through environmental educations. But we survive through our social enterprises, which self-fund the organisation. And one of those enterprises is a grocery online delivery service called Fair Food. And when COVID hit, in the same week, Coles and Woolworths' delivery systems sort of melted down and they closed. And so we had this tsunami of people turning towards us, this little delivery system, to deliver food because people didn't want to go out to the supermarket. We had about 1,200 regular customers a week.
Which is substantial.
In the week of COVID, when it hit, we had about 3,000 people wanting to sign up. And for some businesses, it's a dream come true. But when it's at that scale, and this was happening to farmers as well, who had, you know, these cottage websites up online, having the tsunami of customers just like wash over them, some farmers simply shut the gate and took the website down because it was overwhelming. We had to stop people from signing up because we couldn't take any more people on.
Has that stabilised? What's been the pattern over the subsequent months?
It has stabilised. It's like the tide came in a huge way, but it didn't go out as far as it, you know. A lot of people have stayed and have embraced the food that they've discovered and the service that they've discovered, and not just with us, but from reports around. I know a little collective of farmers down in South Gippsland called the Prom Food Coast Food Co-op. I think they're still doing 3 or 4 times what they did pre-COVID. So people have discovered it, and I think it has really changed things for the good.
I mean, that is a tremendous positive note that suddenly we are not trying to camouflage the source of the things we eat, that we're dealing more directly with the places that it comes from. And there's a real healthiness in that, and a healthiness of a sort of a social and psychological kind.
Yeah, I think it's a strange way for something that, you know, this group of local farmers and farmers markets and local food advocates have been bashing, at conferences and farmers markets for decades now, for it to really be opened up by a virus, by a crisis.
So if you've been expanding your delivery, I imagine that you're also expanding your growing.
So, our egg farmers have been a case in point. They have been absolutely with the home baking everyone baking at home, they have been rushing to put extra chickens on and find extra capacity. So it's been difficult at the beginning, but a long term, it's been fantastic for our egg farmers who are able to suddenly expand, invest, and supply a whole lot more, incredibly sustainably grown eggs to a new market.
Have major players also changed their supply behaviour through this?
Well, you could feel the food system creaking and straining, but largely it came through. Most produce and fruit and veg is grown locally, but I think it hasn't changed largely, but customers have changed. And it'll take a while for the big organisations to catch up.
Seasonality is a thing which could also become a good unintended byproduct of this virus. We suddenly are eating what's ready to be had.
Yeah, I think the whole COVID thing is making people, it's shrinking our world and making us, stay home, cook more, think about what we do and how we do it, and it's giving us more time to discover new ingredients or things that we wouldn't usually cook. I was talking to somebody on Zoom the other day who was eating kohlrabi chips, raw kohlrabi chips, and that they suddenly found available. And, this is just one of those examples.
And the wonderful thing in this country is that this conversation we're having now around something like kohlrabi, which will be something that you'll find down here in the south at this time of year, that conversation will be very different to someone who's living in Wimpy. The seasonal variety around this continent is extraordinary, and that, I mean, there's wonderful sort of opportunity in that and a thing to be embraced in that around Australia.
And everywhere you go around, and I think people are discovering there are players and providers there who have been fighting away over the years to bring this. It's like, there's Food Connect in Brisbane, there's Ubi in Sydney. There are all kinds of little niche organisations who have this stuff, and it's there, and suddenly they've got a whole new customer base coming to them, which is going to really change, give them, the capital to be able to grow and bring it to a lot more people. And, it follows through to a whole lot of the farmers who are growing this stuff.
Well, Chris, thanks. And thanks for helping us extract some positivity from this tricky time.
Yeah, there are some good things coming out of this.
Chris Ennis, Director of Business Innovation at Ceres Fair Food. Blueprint, Radio National.